Okay, so we're going to kind of do kind of a review of what we've done so far. So far, we talked about the sovereign will of God. Sovereign will of God works in conjunction with prayer that the Holy Spirit helps us to accomplish. And then the events of life, God somehow changes those events in life or alters those events in life to fit in with his divine plan, his sovereign plan. I would maintain still today that for the most part, we know God's will for our lives. I think that's pretty clear. Well, we look at that first, and then we looked at the moral will of God. And these are things, what I call the do's and don'ts in Scripture. These are clear. These are communicated throughout the Bible. These are the ways that we act. If you just want to pick one here from the book of James to give you, for example, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. These are clear commands that we're to live out in our Christian lives. And I would maintain this as well, that many of the times when we get into trouble in our lives, it is simply because we are not obeying the moral will of God. And so here you have God's sovereign will, you have God's moral will, and then we talked about last time God's shepherding will. And the shepherding will, we talked about making wise choices, following God's moral will, but seeking wisdom. And we did look at James chapter 1, verse 5. And so these three things now lead us to the thought of, what about planning? And you look at this text, and when I studied it a couple of weeks ago, or over a week ago, I was surprised by the amount of negative thoughts on this text. Actually, I see nothing negative in this text. Maybe initially or later on in the text it looks negative. But when we talk about planning ahead, we have to ask ourselves the question, is it right or is it wrong to make plans and to do and to think about the future? My quick knee-jerk reaction before this sermon is ever even preached is this: no. It is not wrong to plan ahead, to think ahead, and I'm going to prove that as we go through. But let's look at what James tells us. He says, first of all, make plans for your life. But then he immediately looks at the planners. Now, notice what he says here. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. So it's clear that James probably overheard, and I believe this text is for believers. I don't believe he's talking to unbelievers, which some commentaries think that he is. Simply because of the last verse, because he that knows to do wrong or does right, knows to do right and does wrong, to him it's a sin. So it's clear that this is for believers. Now, these planners, probably James was listening to all of these Christian businessmen sitting around talking about what they're going to do with their life. Now, notice what the planners did. First of all, they talked about the time, either today or tomorrow. That is, you make a plan out and you think, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this, the next day I'm going to do this, the next day I'm going to do this. Inherently, nothing wrong there. The location, this or that city. Many of you have made plans in your lives. You say, well, next week we're going to go over to Decatur and we're going to do this, that, or the other. And inherently, nothing wrong with that either. Then they planned to stay there a year. And so they had made all these plans, and like I said, James is probably summarizing what he heard, probably not actually what they said, but a summation of everything that they were talking about. They had a plan. They were going to trade. Obviously, these were businessmen who were out to make what I would call a profit. So I started thinking, and back when we were designing this series, I started thinking to myself, is it wrong to plan? Is it wrong to make plans? Is it wrong to try to look to the future and make plans? We're talking about IRAs. We're talking about a lot of things in life that we kind of just kind of set to the side for a minute. But the question is it wrong? Well, when we look at Proverbs and we think about the implications, I want you to think about some things. You know, churches, organizations, businesses, they have a what's called a strategic planning for small business here, and I kind of went through these: strategic plan, values, vision, direction, goals, tactics, performance indicators. And in business world, when you're talking about performance indicators, you have a way of measuring how you are doing. Over here on the implementation side, you have timing, milestones. How do we know that we're being successful in our business? Dependencies, resources, provisions for contingencies. In other words, if you have problems, how are we going to fix those? I would maintain that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Matter of fact, when you get into bigger Christian organizations, they have to have some type of structure. They have to have some type of plan in place on how they're going to minister and reach people. Churches do it all the time. We have what? Engage, connect, serve. Say that with me. Engage, connect, serve. We made a plan, and we all voted towards that plan to move in that direction and how we file ministry. I don't find anything wrong with that. I don't find anything inherently wrong with that. And when you go to the Bible, this is an isolated case, but when you go to the Bible and you look at, let's say, Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Think of it this way. If you don't have a plan for your life and you don't try to make some type of effort, you'll wind up exactly where you are. And there's some people that say, well, I don't need to plan because God knows the future. And that's true. We don't need to make a plan. And so we're going to continue like this. We're never going to better ourselves. We're never going to get ahead in life. We're never going to move beyond this. I think that's foolish in some ways. But he's getting ready to clarify what he means by this. But let's look at another one. This is a plan. Carefully, and you will have plenty. And if, by the way, if you go on and read Proverbs 21:5, it says, laziness leads to poverty. So the issue here is it wrong to plan? And I simply do not think it is wrong to plan. Churches do it, businesses do it, and I don't think James is rebuking them specifically for that, because he repeats it again later on. But he does rebuke them for something. They are being rebuked for something in their planning. And I think this is kind of key. You have to plan with God's will in mind. You have to plan with God's will in mind. And I think what these Christian businessmen did was that they just decided they were going to make these plans without ever consulting God. Back when I decided to go for my doctorate in preaching, I had a heart for it. I had a desire for it. I wanted to do it. And I never got any stop signs from God. So you make your plans. I think you should make plans to better yourself. I think that you should make plans to improve your economic situation. I think that you should make plans, particularly if you have a family in today's economy. I think you should sit down and make strategic plans. And some of you, I have encouraged to continue in your education, to continue to better your situation. There's nothing wrong with that per se. However, there is something wrong when we make our plans and we forget God. You understand the difference, right? That when you sit down, you say, okay, God, I want you to direct my thoughts and I want you to direct my ways. Because I actually have a personal story in here, that something that happened to me back in 1997 that I want to share as we go through this. But let's look at God's will in mind. And let's look at our brevity. Now notice what he says. James rebukes them not for their plans, but for what they didn't include in their plans. Watch this. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. None of us know the future. None of us in this room. Do you know that you can you can make your plans, but you don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow? You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the next hour holds. You don't know what the next 2 hours hold. You don't know what the next 24 hours hold. None of us. I mean, there's times I've gotten phone calls as a pastor, had to go to the ER, and, you know, the person dies, and just yesterday they were in great health, great shape. Get these phone calls all the time. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And James is reminding them, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. I think it's better to do this. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not evil. I think when you submit a plan to God, you need to keep that in mind. Notice he goes on to say here in verse 14, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We need to remember about tomorrow that it is not promised, and that life is short. I know we think that, you know, we live 70, 80, 90 years, but in comparison to eternity, that's a very short time. So we need to keep that on our minds and in our hearts, that this life is short. And I'll stop and pause and say this. This life is not about us. This life is about the one who redeemed us and saved us and paid for our sins. And so as we go through life, we have to remember that, you know, I guess years ago when I was in Bible college, I was taking a class on Ecclesiastes. And it was a summertime course. And I just remember Professor Hannessy, we were going through this book of Ecclesiastes, wonderful book, and you can actually use it for evangelism. And the theme kept coming up over and over and over again, vanity of vanities. And it's vanity without God. And so to forget God and to leave him out of the equation is wrong in any plans that you do. I would be the first to say, put a brake on it if you are not thinking ultimately about God and about his will. Because God does have a sovereign will for your life, but you have to make those choices, and God can alter the events or change, however you want to say it, modify those events in your life to show you clearly God's will. And you got to remember to keep God at the center of it. Now, in this idea of keeping God's will in mind, we have God's sovereignty. Notice what he says. This is what they should have said. Notice verse 15. This is where they should have gone with this, but they didn't. Instead, now the right way to do this, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Huge. Two ways to understand this. He's either saying, if the Lord is willing, or if the Lord wants. How many times did we read in Scripture where the Apostle Paul said, I planned to come to you, but was much hindered? Sometimes even Satan hindered Paul from going and doing this, that, or the other. I'm sure that there's been other times in Scriptures when people have made plans, have not been able to fulfill them. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me back in 1997. This is Romania. And I remember back in those days, we took Holly, Summer, Audrey, and me. We went to a Romanian church. And there was a Russian general who was speaking and sharing his testimony about how his helicopter was hit by fire. And as he was spinning to the ground in the helicopter, ready to die, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. It was a very powerful testimony. They had a Russian translator that translated it into English, and I was all excited about this. And I remember talking with the Romanian pastor afterwards, and I was really curious about Romania. And I said, you know what? I would love to go to Romania and preach a revival. I would love to go to Romania and preach a revival. And the pastor said, you can. We can do that. And so over the next month, and I, you know, pictures of Romania. I was getting really pumped about it, ready to go to Romania. We were going to get the money from the state association, and I was going to go over there and preach revivals for Romania. And the pastor and I talked probably for about a month or maybe 6 weeks. And then he called me one day and he said, "Pastor," he said, "we can't go." Are you serious? He said, "Yeah, it's too dangerous. There was a government issue going on over there." And you know what? I was like, "No, I want to go." See, the Lord didn't will that to happen, or the Lord didn't want that to happen. Younger pastor then, and I was, "Come on, God, why not, why can't I go? I want to go over there." And it's like God said no. And I'll say this in our Christian lives, when we make our plans, think about God and His will in your life. Make those plans out there. But then be willing for God to say, "No, you can't go. You can't do this. You can't do that." And it took me a couple of weeks to realize that, you know what? Okay, God wasn't willing that I should go. And we never visited that subject again. And in that event, I learned about not only the sovereign will of God and the shepherding will of God and the moral will of God, but I also learned about this, how to make plans and allow God to change the plans. Let me ask you a question in your heart today. Do you have a plan for your life? Do you have a plan for advancement, plans for marriage, plans for this, that, and the other? That's fine. That's all well and good, but you have to get to the point. You have to get to the point, because this is what happens. If you don't get to the point where you say, "I'm going to submit this to God," and it doesn't happen, and then you force it to happen, or you try to make it happen on your own, I'm going to tell you this, you're headed for trouble. The best thing to do is sit back and say, "Okay, if God wants this to happen, then it will happen." So as you plan your life, you think about, "Okay, I'm going to plan for this, that, and the other," maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the road towards retirement. Nothing wrong with that. But you may not even make it to 15 years. I'm not saying be lazy and sit back and do nothing and just let the world pass you by. I don't think that's what God wants either. I think God wants us to plan, but I also think God wants us to remember Him in those plans. If you sit down and you start penciling out a plan, the first thing that better be on your paper is "God direct." It should be. Because then God can speak to you. We do have a thing called the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that gives us directions and teaches us and shows us and guides us and loves us and communicates that love to God and His love for us. Yeah, I was disappointed with this because, look, isn't it beautiful? I think Romania is so beautiful. Trust and obey Him. And then he gets into the sin. He gets into the sin of presumption, at least as I see it. "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." There's the rebuke. Because they had made plans, which there's nothing wrong with that. They had made plans, but they did make their plans without God. And obviously these guys were saying, "We're going to make a fortune over here. We're going to be able to, you know, do this, that, and the other." And they had left God out of the equation. They had left God out of the plan. And that's where he came back at them and said, "As it is, you boast." And that word means to express a high degree of certainty. In other words, they weren't just saying, "We're going to go do this. We're going to go do this." And they were almost like boasting. I've heard this. A friend of mine makes so many plans, and he's like wanting to climb the church ladder. He's wanting to put himself in the right positions, in the right places, to get the right things and to advance. You need to run that back around back to God, because I don't think that's the right way. Scriptures remind me that God squashes the proud and gives grace to the humble, and he will exalt the humble. And I don't think that's the way to do business. I don't think that's the way to do business with God. I don't think that's the way to do business in life. But on the other end, you got to balance it and say, okay, I've got these plans, but I want to submit them to God. That's the key. You make your plans and you submit them to God. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great theologians, said this: pride may be set down as the sin of human nature. Whenever you sin and whenever I sin, I guarantee you, pride is not far behind. Because pride is at the center of everything, and its sin is the word I, me, mine. We got to be careful with this. And I think pretty clearly we have to be careful, because he said it's wickedness or evilness, however you want to say it. It's wrong. You shouldn't do it. So that's the sin of presumption, that you presume this is going to happen. And then, lastly, we have what I call the sin of omission. Verse 17. Now notice, James brings it down. He has rebuked them not for making plans. I want to make this clear, because I don't want you to leave here thinking that pastor said you can make plans however you want. He did not rebuke them for making plans. He rebuked them for making plans without God, and without thinking about God and having him in their minds and in their hearts. Again, let me say this, and I want to say it as clearly as I can. Please make plans for your life, but also please be sure to include God, and he should be right at the top of the page. And I do believe that there's times when God stops us. And one event from my life, and I could probably give you other events from my life, where I had, and, you know, back when I wanted to start this program, because I have a heart for preaching, and everything fell into place, and I've been able to go through it. Nothing at all wrong with that. And then I've had times when I've made plans, and I, you know, baptized them and was ready to go off and do it, and God said, you ain't going anywhere. You're not doing that. You're not doing that. I had it all worked out, you know, all that stuff. And I realized this. I do realize this. That when God says no, tough thing to deal with, isn't it? Let me say this before I get to this last point. Let me just say this. When God says no on some plan that you have made, it is for your benefit. Say that again. When God says no to a plan that you have designed, created, tried to bring to fruition, and God says no, it is always for your benefit and for his sovereign plan for your life. So I say, make plans, submit those plans to God, and watch the sin of omission. Watch what he says, verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do, doesn't require Greek dictionary, it doesn't require theological training. This is pretty clear, pretty simple. Listen to this. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it's a sin. So in other words, if you know the right thing to do in your life, whether it's integrity, whether it's anything that goes on in your life, you know the right thing to do. And by the way, I've seen people do this too. I've seen people cheat to get what they want. Everybody in this room, I guarantee you, if I ask you after church, is it wrong to cheat? What's the first thing you're going to say? Yes, it's wrong to cheat. You know that's wrong. But if you go ahead and do it anyway, then it's your sin. And that's sin of omission. Those are the sins that we know about. It's doing the things that we know we're not supposed to do, but we do them anyway. And let me just say this. We're in pretty good company because Paul said, the very thing I don't want to do, that's what I wind up doing. It's the flesh against the spirit. It's the battle inwardly that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. Let me close this sermon out by saying this. And I know I've hit it 3 or 4 times in this sermon. I'm going to do it again. Make your plans. Nothing at all wrong with that. Submit those plans and think about God's will. And do the things that you know that God will bless. I'm going to say this. Jack Nicklaus said this one time, and I'm going to paraphrase it. When he's on the golf course, and he heard somebody had said, I scored a 42 or something like that. And Jack Nicklaus said, you didn't score a 42. You scored much higher than that. You just didn't count the shots. Simple thing, yes. Ultimately, Jack Nicklaus said this. You're the only one that's going to know that your score wasn't as good. And you may go through these plans, and you may try to climb the corporate ladder, and you may do all these things, but inwardly you know you didn't get it by the right means. And you know that what you did was wrong. I don't think God blesses that. But I'm going to leave room for God to bless your socks off so it then becomes a burden around your neck. Because you know as you succeed, you know that that plan was not submitted to God. You know that you did it the wrong way. You didn't do it His way. And God allowed you to be blessed. And guess what? In your blessing, you are miserable because deep down inside, you know you didn't follow God and you didn't do the right thing. Let me say this. Do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, it will be the best thing that could ever happen to you. And the biggest blessing. So make your plans with God's will in mind. Trust it and obey Him. And I kind of think we go back here too to the clear commands of Scripture. Look, just about everything. Do you know the Bible talks about businesses and prosperity in the Bible? Did you know that? It talks about planning and it talks about being lazy. And I think when people are lazy, they just go, well, I'm going to see what God does. Well, okay. You see what God does, but also if you do nothing in your life, and if you plan nothing, and if you try to do nothing, you're going to have nothing. But there's the other side of the fence where you're going to get this regardless of what it costs and who I have to knock down to get it, and that's the wrong thing to do. I've beat that horse 6 times at least. 5. Let me, in the Scriptures, Scripture is very, very clear. You could live your life and should live your life based on the Scripture. Everything that you want to know is in there. And what is not in there that it pertains to your life, guess what? God has the Holy Spirit who will teach you and guide you and direct you in all of His ways. So my call to you, and we get to choices next week, it's going to be even deeper. My call to you would be go to His Word when you're making your plans. Go to His Word, think about God, and ask Him, God, is this okay? You have to get to a place where you trust God and believe that if you do it the right way, you make plans, keep God first, think about Him, saying, Father, is this okay? Is this all right? If it comes to pass, then God will bless it. If it doesn't, He stops it. That's sure. I can trust that. And then to do the things that He's called us to do on a day-to-day basis.